Turn your Bibles, will, to Matthew chapter 22. So good to see each one of you here this morning, and thankful to our Lord for the privilege He's given us to be able to meet together to worship Him and the way He's blessed in the services already. It's so good, such a blessed thing for us to be able to meet together to worship our Lord. Brother Jason mentioned in his message on Friday night about the little gold nuggets in the Scripture. And, you know, as we read, as we listen, as we sit under teaching and preaching or prepare for such, you know, we need to pray that the Lord will speak to us through His Word and just show things to us. And there's so many things that are there that are just very, not that they're base, okay, or not that they're insignificant, but they're basic and foundational. And you know, to see things the way the Lord sees things, and to understand the way the Lord understands things, and to see things in different lights or from different angles, if you will, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing from our Lord. And may we avail ourselves to the Word of God, and may our Lord speak to us through His Word, and we be filled and blessed by it. In Matthew chapter 22, I preached on this passage at the jail last time, and even as I was preaching, the Lord laid some things on my heart regarding the content in this passage, and felt led this morning to share some of that with you. And so that's what our desire is. In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29, the Lord Jesus Christ answered to these that He's dealing with, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Now, I've preached on this passage before, and about knowing the Lord and knowing Him in His Scriptures and knowing His power. And that's appropriate. I mean, there's the message that's there. This message is indeed along that line. But I've entitled this message this morning, "The Great Error." The Great Error. Let's pray. Father, we need Your help this morning. We pray You'd bless. And Lord, work and move with the Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, Father, and speak to us all out of Your good word. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us first. And thank You for so great a Savior, so great salvation, so great, such great blessings that You bestowed upon us in this way. We pray, Father, for those not saved, that You would speak to them, touch them, save them, make them Your own. You're able, Father. We look to You for it. And Lord, just help us to do what we can and do what You've given us to do, Father, and fill us with Your power and ability, Father, to obey You and what You've given us. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, and amen. The great error. You know, it's a great error to not know the Scriptures, to not know what God says in His Scriptures. And I know that, and you're here, and I'm thankful that you're here, and you hear me say that a lot, but that's just the truth. That this book is what we have telling us about our Lord. We only know the Lord as well as we know Him in this book, in these Scriptures. That's how we know Him. He's chosen to reveal Himself this way, through the Scriptures, and of course, the working of His Spirit. But this is part of that which the Lord has done, in that it tells there, I believe, in Isaiah or Jeremiah, that the Lord's magnified His Word above His own name. And so the Lord's given His Word that men would hear. As we look and consider this this passage, the Lord gave a parable early on in the chapter, and it says here in verse number 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Facets of the kingdom, and I've even preached messages on that. And that when you see the Lord or hear the Lord saying this, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God is like, He's given us an aspect of the way it works in the Lord's kingdom. And He's dealt with them in this way. Understand in verse number 3 that the Lord says the kingdom is like a certain king, which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. You know what? In the scripture, we find an invitation. Because that's the way the kingdom of God is, a facet. It doesn't tell everything about the kingdom, but a facet of the kingdom is that the king has sent an invitation. Because there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. And what's it say? It says, and they would not come. The Lord Jesus Christ, and let us remember the great error. He said, you err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And in the scriptures, we find the invitation. There's going to be a wedding. And you need to come. But it says they would not come. You know what's going on here? The king is giving the best for his best. Hear that? And he's getting everything ready. There's nothing withheld for this marriage. He is preparing things for his message, for this wedding, he's preparing the best for his best, his only begotten son. And the scriptures contain that invitation and that about his son and that about those things that he's preparing. And he says, come. But as it is with mankind, they would not. We would not. It says in verse number 4, he sent other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. He's given the best for his best. His son is the object of his focus, this certain king. And he's pulling out the stops, isn't he, in regards to honor of his son in this great marriage. And they would not. His plan and our Lord's work, indeed, our Lord's plan and our Lord's work is clearly told in his scriptures. Understand, they're his scriptures. They don't belong to men. They're given to men, but they belong to the Lord. The Lord says, you do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures, knowing the content of the scriptures and the message, the invitation that is conveyed. Listen to the reaction of men. We see it. You know it. But they, verse number 5, made light of it. It could be that there would be those here now that would maybe or in time past and other messages and understand if you make light of what I preach, that's fine. But you know what? Don't make light of what God says. Don't make light of God. Don't be willful to reject what God says. Listen, don't put the Lord out of your heart and mind. Don't do it. Because the Lord says it's the greatest error to not know the scriptures. Some made light of it. It's not that big a deal. Some made light of it. They said, I don't need it. Some made light of it. It sure is boring. Right? Some made light of it. It's just not important. It's important to my family. It's important to my parents. It's important to my children. It's important to this one or that one or the other one. It's not important to me. They made light of it. Don't make light of the Word of God. Because in the Scriptures is contained the invitation to the marriage. And you know what? That's very important to the Lord. They made light of it. It says here, and went their ways. We've gone our ways, haven't we? Isaiah speaks about that, talking about the Lord, talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and what he has suffered. And we're like sheep that have gone astray. We've gone everyone his own way. You know, the Word of God tells us, and the Lord tells us, that we should not go our own way, but we should go his way and hear him speaking. Come to the marriage. Come to the marriage. Look here in verse number 5. They made light of it. They went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Looking to and looking only to and trusting in the world and the things of life in the world. What we're going to do tomorrow. What we did yesterday. Not giving a lick about what the Lord says. Not giving a lick about the scriptures and what the Lord is speaking to each and every one of us. Do you realize that the Bible is God's word from heaven to you and to me? It goes out to all. That's the reason, you know, we who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, sinners that are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, have been saved by the word. Have we not? His keeping of it, he completing it, fulfilling it, he being the full revelation of the word. That's the reason one of his names is the Word. And you know what? Those who are going to deny Christ, and those who will stand at the great white throne judgment, they'll be judged by their works, by the word. It's relevant to all of us. It's pertinent and touches each and every one of us. But they went on to the world and the things of the world, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And look here in verse number 6, the fourth reaction. And a remnant took and entreated his servants spitefully. That's talking about violence. And slew them. And when the Lord Jesus is here at this point speaking these words, we understand from the just going to the scriptures and a survey of the Old and New Testament alike, the New Testament hasn't been written, and the Lord's talking about at least 32 servants that are known. There's 8 brethren that the Lord used to write the New Testament, and 40 we generally say is the case that the Lord, 40 men that the Lord used to write the scriptures, and he's saying there's been 32 at least that are known that have been sent, and they treated them spitefully and were violent towards them and even killed some of them. And so relative to the time when the Lord speaks, you and I are here where there's been at least 40 that are named, and there's more beyond that. The Lord has sent his word by his men. It's important to him. And they've said, come to the wedding. the king says, come to the wedding. Come to the wedding. Our Lord Jesus also says here in verse number 29, it's a great error to not know the power of God, the power of God. And that is so true. We want to bring the Lord down to our level. We want to think of the Lord like we think of ourselves, and we limit God, you know, and God, may the Lord help us, you know, by the doctrine that we get from the scripture, and by that, you know, we need to look to the scripture and understand what our Lord has instructed us and given us and what he believes. But may we never put our Lord in a box. God's not to be boxed. He's the doer of impossible things. And may we never, personally or in our families or in our church, as a nation, put the Lord in a box. He won't be kept in a box. The power of God. You know, the power of God is that a person can be changed. That's saying something. We've been given our children, for example, and that's a blessing of the Lord. We're given our children for a time, you know, a couple decades maybe, something like that, and they grow up and they turn into adults. That's supposed to be. And we are the children are given to parents to be taught to obey and to be taught what's right, because foolishness is bound in their heart. to be guided in the right way, to understand about submission, to understand about being instructed, to understand about how to learn, so that they might ultimately understand that they need to be submissive to God. That's what childhood is all about, is parents teaching their children that they need to be submissive to them because ultimately they are subject and responsible to God. That's a whole thing of childhood. And looking back at that, it's a real short time to get that accomplished in, isn't it? And it's only going to be accomplished by the power and ability of the Lord and His instruction. But the Lord's able to change a heart, isn't He? We pray that the Lord will change hearts, don't we? I think about this in verse number 3. It says here that He sent forth His servants, 32 prophets that are known in the Scriptures. And you know what? They wanted to go. You know, we're talking about Ezekiel on Sunday afternoons. Ezekiel didn't want to go at the beginning. It doesn't look like. But you know what? I think the Lord's working on him and his heart's being changed. I think we're seeing that. But all these brethren, they wanted to. You hear that? They were called of the Lord. Oh yeah, Jonah didn't want to, but then the Lord worked on Jonah and then he wanted to, didn't he? Isn't that something? Think about that. The Lord has taken lives. I know I say that a lot, but it's something that we just need to get a hold of. It's true. The Lord's used lives to reach and get to us. And lives are not petty and small in value. Lives are of the greatest value. And our Lord uses lives, changes hearts to reach people. He's able to send them, speaking of our brethren and even us, and they, by the Lord, have had a desire to go. Why would missionaries go and be subject to the things that they're subject to? Why would servants of the Lord lay down things in the secular world where they have been given ability and prosperity and then go work in the work of the Lord where there's no way that they're going to have what they would have had in the physical world? Because the Lord works on hearts and He reveals a great blessing. And they come to understand that the blessing of the Lord is greater than all that we can get in this life. Sometimes we might run into some that are dealing with that thing. They're dealing with their old man and they're just not too happy about it. And the Lord works and the Lord helps, I trust. But so many that we know that are the Lord is called. He's got the power to change a person, to open eyes and to open a heart to see what's of true value. Look here what He says. And what it says here in the second round of appeal to those, the summoning of guests. In verse number 10, so those servants went out into the highways, and the Lord sent more servants beyond those that were killed and treated spitefully. You see that? He sent even more. He didn't say, well, they killed some of them. They killed them all. I guess I'll quit. No, He keeps on sending, doesn't He? And He said, so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. You know, what this is talking about, bad and good, that's talking about our estimation. Our estimation, because we say some things are good, some people are good, some people are bad. You know, there are just evil, wicked people in the world. Our administration is not one to admit that and understand that that's the case. There's just some people that are diabolical on wreaking havoc in society. It's just that way. And they need to be dealt with according to the law, the way the Lord says that they need to be dealt with. They need to be constrained in that. But you know what? The Lord can take the worst criminal and save them. the world can take the worst hater and cause them to love by the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts. We can't do that, can we? Oh, we can be kind to folks, and we're to represent our Lord indeed to a lost and dying world. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we can't get in there and make the changes. Our Lord does that with His Spirit. And that's incredible. That is incredible. That's a marvel. He's able to take the righteous and the unrighteous. And you understand how I'm saying this. The Lord didn't call him to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, he can take those that are religious and he can save them too. He can change a heart. He can get the perspective off of self and onto Christ. And he can take and make the perspective of self correct. Lost, sinful, wicked, and undone, and in need of a Savior. The Lord does that. He's good at it, isn't he? And you know, and he's the one that's given his word. He's the one that sent out the invitation. It's a great error to not know the scripture and the power of God, isn't it? He can change them too. In Matthew chapter 21, let's back up here a page and look in verse number 28. The scripture says, "But what thank ye," the Lord says, "a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard,'" Matthew 21, 29. "And he answered and said, 'I will not,' but afterward he repented and went." You know, the Lord loves repentance. Verse 30, "And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise, son, go work in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." Lip service. "Wherefore of them twain did his father's will?" The will of his father, he asked him. "They say unto him, 'The first,'" the one that repented, not the one that said and didn't. "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Did you hear that? Publicans and harlots. "Before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, when ye even saw them turn, you repented not afterward that ye might believe him." The power of God to change sinners, to save them from their sins, to take them from loving their sins to hating their sins and loving him. To take them from seeing themselves how they really are and to see how Christ really is and what a great Savior he is. The power of God. The power of God is amazing. Look at this. Our Lord in verse 29 talked about the great error, not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the power of God. And he deals with these in particular here. And there was this point that was of great note. The Lord brought this to my attention. It was a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage," listen, "but are as the angels of God in heaven." As the angels. Now, I don't know if we'll be as the angels in every respect. But in this respect, we will be, at least. Our Lord says that with the angels, there's no need for marriage. There's no need for marriage. Marriage and that coming from marriage, children, that's the design for now, you know, when it's good and it's right. It's good and it's right. It's a blessing from God, created on the other side of sin by the Lord. And it's a blessing, a gift by our Lord, and a blessing and obedience to what he has designed for this earth. But you know what? There, with the Lord in eternity, there's no need for marriage. The saints of God, listen, I think we've got enough scriptures that tell us and show us the saints of God, the children of God, especially we in our context, being in the Lord's church, we're married to the Lord. We're married to him. If you believe and hold to a Baptist bride, and that we believe as Landmark Baptist, another term to describe about what we believe, we see that indeed, that we are married to our Lord. Remember what the message is, what the invitation is? There's a marriage supper. Who's going to be getting married? Our Lord. Our Lord Jesus. Hold your place here and turn over to Revelation chapter 19 quickly. In Revelation chapter 19, listen to this. Listen, this morning, if you're here under the hearing of my voice, don't listen to me, but listen to what the Lord says. In verse number 7 of chapter 19, it says here, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And what's the righteousness of the saints? It's the righteousness of Christ, isn't it? "Thereby we are justified." Verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write." He says, "John, write this down. Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb." Did you read that? Did you hear that? "Blessed are they that are called." Not the ones that make light of it. Not the ones that go over and just are more interested in their stuff than what the Word of God says. Not those that turn on the messenger from the Lord with the one that sends the invitation and says, "Come to the marriage. The great King has made his marriage supper, and he's saying, come. Blessed is he. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." It's top drawer. It's high on the list with the Lord. Don't make light of it. Don't find another interest to distract from it. But hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. As the angels of God in heaven, our Lord says back in Matthew chapter 22. You know, to my estimation, I don't see that angels die. Do you in the scriptures? I think we've got enough passages in the scriptures, especially take a look at the Old Testament, that we can see that angels are fast, aren't they? They can move around, can't they? In Matthew chapter 18, turn back a couple pages here. I want you to see what our Lord says about this. In Matthew 18, verse number 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Angels regularly see the face of the Lord. That's what the Lord Jesus says. He says, in the resurrection, there's going to be one. The children of God are like the angels that are in heaven. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, the apostle writes, Unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Angels are mighty. They're well able, prepared by the Lord. You ever wonder what the climate is in heaven? We struggle with the climate here, don't we? We try to keep it cool in the summer, and some get cold, and some are burning up, and it's, we try. We try to get, you know, there are these that are talked about in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 16. Those that have been come through great tribulation and have given their lives for the sake of the word of the Lord. The Lord says, "And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." And that's talking about the saints. I think over there on the other side with that new body in heaven, the new earth, temperature's just right. There's no need of the sun there because the Lord's the light of it. And we've got a body that we can be in his presence. Sin won't be there to burn up in the glory, the shining glory of the Lord, because we will have been given a body that can enjoy that real good. Won't be any spots, won't be any blemishes, will there? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 7, here speaking about Christ and dealing with that of the angels, how the Lord didn't send an angel to be the Savior, but he sent his own Son, and he sent him as a man rather than as an angel. And he talks about the angels here, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and ministers, and his ministers a flame of fire. Angels are able to do what the Lord once done like that. And they by the working and the power of the Lord, they run into restraint. We see that in the scriptures. We see that in Daniel. But with the power of the Lord, they overcome. And you know what? They're just always on it. Always on it. You know what happens to me and you after just about a little bit? We get tired. There'll be a day we won't get tired. Won't hurt anymore. Won't have to worry about arthritis. You think angels worry about arthritis? You think angels get hungry? Manna is called angels' food in the scripture. But I don't think they have to eat. You and I have to eat. We go about 3 or 4 days not eating, things change, don't they? Like the angels, as the angels of the Lord in heaven. You know, this is what the Lord says in His Word. You have an interest in this? Boy, I'm thankful for it. In Revelation chapter 14, verse number 6, telling about the end times, they're getting down to the end of this old dirt ball, this old world. And then scripture, the brother writes, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Angels fly. Now, they don't have wings. Cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant have wings, but angels look like you and me, from what I get from the scriptures. The power of God is that He can make all kinds of creatures. He's made creatures being headed up by mankind that's to have dominion over all the earth, creatures terrestrial and creatures celestial. I tell you what, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a blessed time when all that's together, isn't it? The Lord's able to make all those different kinds. But angels can fly. Not to show off. Here they're going to be preaching the gospel to those that dwell in the earth. As we mentioned there in Revelation chapter 14. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse number 11, speaking about the angels and the power of God, and that the power of God is going to make the saints like unto the angels, the Lord says. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, greater in power and might than you and me, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. They're greater in power and might. They are strong, able, fast, can fly, can go from this realm to that realm and back in an instant. And you and I know that that other realm is there, but we only know we can get there by death. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You remember Brother Peter, I mentioned about him, and he's there in jail. In Acts 12, 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. They can turn the lights on when there's no electricity. I bet it wasn't kind of yellow light. Some of that substandard light, huh? Right, Brother Stephen? Brother Stephen undertook great research, and I defer to him at times about lighting. And understand, boy, I tell you, the light of the angels right there, because it's the glory of God reflected in them. Showed up at Peter's side, and you know what? Took Peter out of there, and nobody even noticed. Angels have great ability by the power of God. You remember Brother Zechariah? He's in there in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but in the holy place, doing what he was to be doing. Was it incense that he was doing? And there's an angel right there. Gabriel is standing right there. Gabriel didn't have to walk in the front door of the temple. Boom. He's there. Talk to Zacharias about John, about him having a child. I'm sorry, that was in Luke chapter 1. And then in Luke chapter 2, the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds. And when they were seen by the shepherds out there in the field at night, and the glory of the Lord shone in them, and they were afraid. The power of the Lord. It's a great error to not know the power of the Lord. It's a great error to not believe in and trust in the power of the Lord. It's a great error, the greatest error, to not know the scriptures that tell us about these. That's an aspect of the scriptures that it tells us about the power of our God. And he's the king that says, come to the marriage supper. I prepared a marriage supper for my son. We take a look, and our Lord said this in Matthew chapter 22. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Turn over here, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. The Lord tells us this, and what we read there in Matthew 22, but then John also tells us this, like the angels. Well, you know what? It's even better than that. It's even better than that, isn't it? Our brother writes in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That makes Brother Nicky smile. It makes me smile too. Doesn't that cause you to rejoice? I'm going to be like Christ. The Lord says we'll be like the angels in this respect, and no doubt others. I believe others, but we're going to be like him. I think Jesus, after his resurrection, was instantly in the upper room. And I'm not, and understand, my focus is not that we seek Christ and to be saved by him so we have these abilities in the life to come. And that's not the point, so don't misunderstand. What I'm wanting us to see is the power of God. He can take the likes of you and me and do that with us. He can make us like Christ. We'll be able to be in his presence. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When you see Christ as he is, you've got a body like his. An invitation to experience and live like this forever. Is that not what's told us in the scriptures? Oh, to be saved from sins and to have fellowship with God and to have all those glorious things. Really, these things that are mentioned are just side benefits. Are they not? They're just side benefits, but they are true. They are told us that we might have confidence in our Lord. Know his power. Know his power through the scriptures. And then look to him in our individual lives and in our lives of our family, life of our church, that we might know even his power experientially by experience ourselves. Do you know the power of God in your life? Has the Lord done anything for you? I tell you what, if he saved us, he's worked a miracle, hadn't he? If he's answered prayers, he's worked miracles and gave blessings, hadn't he? If he saved others and our families and friends and acquaintances, the families of the membership of the church, he has blessed, hadn't he? And we know his power indeed. And we have faith in these things that are promised that he's given unto us. You know, as I was considering about this, the saints taken from the lowest of the low, made to be like the angels, made to be like Christ forevermore. What about those in hell? Boy, that's a contrast, isn't it? I mean, that's as Brother Abraham told the rich man, it's a great gulf. There's a great gulf between, indeed. A great chasm, indeed. Think about those, contrast the eternity of the saints, being like the angels and being like Christ forevermore. By the power of God, you know what? Sinners, by the power of God, will be condemned to hell in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It's by the power of God that it will be. You know what? Men, women, boys, and girls deny the power of God because they say it's not so. It's so. And hell in the lake of fire is not Satan's playground. It's God's place of divine indignation, wrath, and judgment upon sinners that reject the invitation to come to the marriage supper. Amen? They reject the call of the Lord to come. Those in hell in the lake of fire. It says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Hell gets just big enough to hold her occupants. Just big enough. Enough, I venture, enough real estate to stand there. In Luke chapter 16, we see much our Lord, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus telling us about hell, the place of burning. In Luke chapter 16, we're told about these two men and their lives on this earth. And the beggar, Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And he's there right now. He's with the Lord right now. And the rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23 of Luke 16. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. In hell, there's torment. There's the flame. There's the fire, there's the brimstone, there's the darkness. Boy, it's quite a contrast to being like the angels, isn't it? For the saints to be like the angels and those that are in hell, they're burning and being tormented. Scripture says their worm dieth not. And I think we can understand that from the standpoint of their spirit, their soul, it doesn't go away. Or we can even take it from the standpoint of a body. They've been given a body. The power of God is such they can be given a body that will be continually destroyed, but never be destroyed. What a contrast. What a distance between being like the angels, being like Christ, or being in hell and torment and the flame and the fire and the darkness forever. Being in torments, it is such so that he says, I'm tormented in this flame, verse 24, and a little drop of water. How can that satisfy? You see that coming off my finger? How can that satisfy? Can that satisfy? You and I it would be a joke. Sometimes our kids will kid around, say, give me something to drink. And they've done that before. They just fill up my glass just with a teaspoon. You know, we laugh. That wouldn't satisfy us a bit here. This man says that would help. That's how bad it is there. How terrible it is there. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. And a drip, a little bit of water off of Lazarus's finger will make a difference. Also in hell, we see in verse number 25 that Abraham says to this man, remember. You know, in hell, there's a memory. The memory is the best thing that's in hell in the lake of fire. It's the memory. Now, you know what? I think there's going to be memory of that, all that rejection. The word of God coming to many and the rejection of it. The sending of those servants that the Lord sent and said, come on to the marriage supper. And they said, nah, it's a bunch of mess. That's a bunch of foolishness, made light of it. Nah, I've gotten busy. I got to go do this, that, and the other. I got to go work. Got to go do this, fiddle with this. Got to do this. Or that even turned on them. Can you imagine the torment of those that have turned on the Lord's people or even killed the Lord's people? Herod beheaded John the Baptist. And according to the scriptures, that man, what we understand about that man, Herod, and is in hell right now. You reckon he's saying, oh, why did I not listen to John? Oh, why did I kill John? Pilate, oh, why did I not do what was right and just? Oh, they got memories. Got memories of it all. You know what it is for the children of God? By the power of God is old things are passed away and all things become new. Amen? Tears wiped from eyes. Enjoying the pleasant presence of our Lord. Paul writes that the difficult things of this life, we'll view them at that time and that place and in that eternal day as just a moment. It was just a moment. The power of God. The blessing of our Lord. And we come here to Revelation chapter 20. I know I refer to this passage often, but it gives us great insight to the future for those that reject the Lord. The Lord said it's a great error, the greatest error to not know the scriptures and to not in them see the power of God. We see here in Revelation 20, verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, death, the grave, and dying is all cast into the lake of fire. And in verse number 12, the dead are there, small and great. You know, Alexander the Great's going to be there, isn't he? Now, that's from the testimony of history. That's what we understand. These that Brother Stephen mentioned about in his Sunday school class. From what we understand, maybe Darius and maybe Cyrus, they might be with the Lord now from some of their testimony. But Pharaoh is in hell right now. And from what we understand from the scriptures, they're there. The gutter, the drunk that was found in the gutter, the dad died last night without Christ, is in hell right now. From the lowest to the greatest, they'll be there. They'll be there. Because why? They didn't receive the invitation. Come to the marriage. Come to the supper. Come to the marriage feast of our Lord. The great error. Back in Matthew 22, ye do err, verse 29. Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.